This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, February 9th. I'm Lisa Young. Colorado Governor Jared Polis recently appointed Ryan L. Hess to the Montrose County Court in the 7th Judicial District. This appointment fills a vacancy on the court. Hess's term was effective immediately upon the appointment by the governor. Hess has served as a detective for the Montrose Police Department and a deputy district attorney in the 7th Judicial District. The Montrose girls swim team is getting geared up for the Class 4A state swim meet. They recently had a solid showing at the Glenwood Springs Demon Invite. The Red Hawks scored a relay win, taking the 200-yard medley relay title. The team heads to the Southwest Conference meet at the Maverick Center this weekend to try and improve their seed times for next week's state tournament. The 4A state meet begins on February 12th at the Veterans Memorial Aquatic Center in Thornton. The 2026 Delta County Fair will feature a new fiber arts division this summer. Organizers say the newly added division will include four categories: hand-spun yarn, articles made from hand-spun yarn, articles woven from commercial yarn, and felted items. In regional news, a new report shows how New Mexico's public lands protections were weakened by Project 2025. For New Mexico News Connection, Roz Brown reports.
A new report finds the Trump administration has implemented 80% of the public lands goals laid out in Project 2025. Significantly impacting New Mexico and other western states. The Center for Western Priorities says the actions have been carried out despite the president's repeated disavowal of the document on the 2024 campaign trail. Kate Grotzinger says researchers with the center found multiple efforts to undermine the environmental review and public comment process under the National Environmental Policy Act.
The Trump administration has really cut the public out of public land by limiting the amount of work that companies need to do to get a permit and limiting the opportunities for public participation in permitting.
Supporters of the administration's efforts maintain environmental reviews often take years, slowing down projects that could support jobs and tax revenue. That's led Republicans in Congress to use a little-known law to overturn federal public lands decisions, the 1996 Congressional Review Act. It allows Congress to roll back certain federal agency rules with a simple majority vote and the president's signature. Until recently, the law rarely had been used in the context of public lands. According to the Center for American Progress, Trump remains the only president in U.S. history to remove protections for more public lands than he has added. Grotzinger says this leaves New Mexico sites at risk.
These land management agencies have been gutted and directed to only work on things that help oil and gas companies, ranchers, and mining companies. So it really is a perversion of what the land management agencies are supposed to do, which is serve the people and protect the environment.
Last year, the Trump administration announced its intention to rescind a 10-mile buffer zone prohibiting future oil and gas drilling around New Mexico's Chaco Culture National Historical Park, established under the Biden administration in 2023. The site has cultural, spiritual, and historical significance to many pueblos and tribes and is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, one of only 24 in the U.S. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
Gun violence in schools is a topic that often leads to heated, highly polarized debates about gun control. But some pioneering school districts in western Colorado are using an innovative approach to stop school violence before guns are in the picture. KVNF's Brody Wilson has more.
For many parents, the names Uvalde, Sandy Hook, Parkland, Columbine still land like a punch to the chest. Tragedies like these can make parents feel like they're rolling the dice every time they send their kids to school. But school leaders in Western Colorado say it doesn't have to be this way. There are many chances to step in early, long before a student ever decides to turn to violence. KVNF News has been talking with staff at Montrose County School District and Ridgeway School District about a prevention model called Salem-Keizer Threat Assessment. Local leaders say that federal experts pointed them to the Salem-Keizer School District in Oregon. In Montrose, Manager of Threat Assessment and Health and Safety Manager Megan Farley says the model is built for prevention.
Because really, Salem-Keizer in its heart is prevention. It wants The idea is that you're doing the assessment before the event.
Megan Farley says that when you look backward from a worst case act of violence, you often see a student who felt alone, like they didn't belong. She says the goal is to find the earliest moment when you can help change that trajectory.
If you go backwards from mass violence, like when you go backwards to what happened, the person who's perpetrated that violence has a history of not feeling like they belonged, not feeling like there were people that were supporting them, not feeling like they had the resources or the tools. And so we're trying to find the moment in time where we can change that trajectory for that student.
And she says the bar for raising a concern is very low.
They just need to say something. They need to make the bird on your shoulder go, huh, that was different than what everyone else is saying. Or I feel strange about this situation.
In the Montrose County School District, they've expanded on the Salem-Keizer threat assessment model with additional early intervention safety teams in each school. Here's Dr. Carrie Stevenson, the superintendent of Montrose County School District.
I mean, it really is about supporting the whole child. And we were doing Salem-Keizer threat assessment and suicide risk assessment model really well. However, we also know that we were not meeting all of the needs. And so something that is unique to Montrose County School District is the addition of what we call safety teams. And a safety team is comprised of an SRO, a nurse, a behavior coach, a social worker. There's one more. I don't remember right off the top of my head.
The safety team also includes a school therapist.
These five people then work together to alleviate any concerns that a school might have on a student.
You might find yourself thinking, my gosh, with such a low threshold, they must catch so many issues. And you're right.
We do it. Each team is five folks. That's not true in social work. We have six social workers. But so we have five people on each of those teams, and they have a couple of our facilities assigned to them. But we've seen 1,100 of our 5,800 students we have had contact with. This is our third school year.
1,100 and 5,800 is about one in five. These teams have contacted one out of every five students in the district. That means that working with the school safety team isn't stigmatized or shamed, it's normalized. Ridgeway School District also uses Salem-Keizer. Elementary principal Perry Gibner says older approaches could leave administrators feeling helpless. Here she describes her experience working as an administrator in a different school district.
I did the threat assessment, and the feeling afterwards was this feeling of helplessness, because it was a process in which we removed the student from the school. And so then it became, I had no control. I had no way to manage what was, you know, if the student came back. It was scary. It wasn't in Ridgeway, just to clarify. And nothing came out of it that was bad. But I remember, you know, that was a really horrible feeling.
Suspending or expelling a student who made a threat or was violent at school means sending them home, sometimes to very difficult situations.
And it's not that there isn't a disciplinary action when there is a threat. It's not that that precludes, you know, disciplinary action. But I think people who don't work in the school setting expect for that removal. And that's where the message is really important, that it's really actually safer if we can have eyes on everybody.
If this all sounds expensive and burdensome, I urge you to think, what's the alternative? Montrose Superintendent Dr. Carrie Stevenson.
Well, we prioritize it, because unless our kids feel safe and supported, they cannot learn in the classroom. And so that has to be a priority. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels on academics.
And if you're having a hard time prioritizing a program like this in a penny-pinching school district?
Yeah, you show me your budget and I'll tell you what you value.
If you're a parent of a school-age student, you should know. School leaders like these are going much beyond metal detectors and lockdown drills and locked doors. They're going into the hearts of their students to stop animosity, resentment, and feelings of not belonging, so those feelings never lead to violence in school. These programs and the conversations I had with these administrators goes much deeper, and that's why this is the topic of this week's Local Motion. You can listen to Local Motion on KVNF on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 10 a.m., or by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kvnf.org. For KVNF and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Brody Wilson.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Lisa Young.